Okay, welcome to the Camp Talk podcast from Our Kids Media. I'd like to welcome your host today, Dan Weir from Frost Valley YMCA, Gabrielle from Camp Waro, and Joe Richards from Pierce Williams Christian Center. And my name is Travis Allison. So welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks.
Hey, good to be here.
Welcome to the first ever real version of this. Sort of real version of this podcast. We're going to be covering a bunch of topics that are really relevant to camp directors. So there'll be some tech tips, there's going to be some interesting links, some things you can look up on the web, and a bit of a discussion in the middle, sort of a longer form discussion. So we invite people to submit questions and answers to us. You can send stuff to my email, which is Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S, at ourkids.net. And we'll give you some of the Twitter handles at the end if you want to send stuff to us that way. So just wanted to open up with some links. I know that some of you had put some stuff in the thing, some links that you thought would be good for camp directors.
Great.
Dan, why don't you start us off?
Sure. This week I chose athinline.org, and basically it's created by MTV, and it's basically an awareness campaign. They're broadcasting on MTV and advertising all over their different sites that they own about just the fact that sexting is a big prevalent issue with teens, of taking pictures and sexual suggestive texts that they're sending back and forth, and just kind of addressing. It's a site geared towards them, but also provides resources of kind of breaking that barrier that they have to their cell phones, and how constant messaging and spying on each other is not an okay thing, and really kind of building on that dependence. And so I thought it was an awesome resource, and I was happy to see somebody kind of stepping up and taking a step in that direction.
And I looked at it too. I actually blogged about it this week too, after I saw your post, Dan. I never really thought of the bullying implications of it, of sort of kids being mean and showing around, like sending a nearly naked picture of yourself to your boyfriend or girlfriend, high school boyfriend or girlfriend, and then breaking up, and then that person sending it all around, and how that could affect a boy or a girl in high school.
And I think the other thing they don't realize is for a while there was child pornography charges being placed on top of it. So on top of all these issues of what's wrong with everything, they were going through the legal system of being a sex offender, or potentially being a sex offender. So some of the states have recognized how this is a developing thing and how they shouldn't place those laws immediately on the children yet. But I was just really happy to kind of see like a proactive stance in that aspect, even though it's kind of reactive and that they're doing it now.
I visited the site as well, and what I really noticed was the always present significant other, the always texting person, which is not my case at all, but it just really set up this whole, I've never thought about that if my significant other always wanted to know where I was and texted me all the time, how annoying that would be. It's the reason I shut off phone feeds for some Twitter people, so.
Yeah, the sort of stalking aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing to watch.
Great.
I mean, the other thing too is just that I think we've grown up where we got cell phones later in our lives, and the kids are growing up now are getting cell phones when they're 7, 8, and 9, and so it's kind of addressing an issue where we kind of had some more common sense at that time. But yeah.
Yep.
And our staff also, they're also starting to become the ones that are growing up with cell phones, and so. Their wisdom is sometimes a little bit off when it comes to guiding campers. So this is also a very neat site to pass on to our staff and staff training and those type of things.
Yeah, that's a great link, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, the link I provided this week is naturerocks.org, which is all part of this Child in Nature movement. And fits into, I attended a conference last March in BC, and Nature Rocks is a Now it's meant to be a family planner, like for somewhere for where families can go and organize, sort of figure out that nature isn't that far away. And at camp, you know, if you're a residential camp, oftentimes you think that nature is really close. But when we actually look at how much time kids spend doing something in nature versus doing, yeah, we're all in nature, but we're not, we don't recognize it. But Nature Rocks is just a great site to pick up new ideas to really reinvigorate like an ecology or a nature program and sort of put it into your program at camp.
Cool.
And it also sort of addresses that nature deficit stuff, right?
Well, yeah, it came out of Nature Rock came out of the in the States. It's the Children in Nature Network, which is a great RSS feed to follow. And that started to form around Richard Louv and the book Last Child in the Woods. And when I saw Richard Louv speak at this conference last March, he's such a humble man. Like you would think that, because he started this whole movement of children in nature and No Child Left Behind and Nature Deficit Disorder. And Nature Rocks has come out of that foundation saying, okay, well, how do we get parents, give them concrete and easy ideas to show their kids, you know, to get them out and touching things and feeling, you know, feeling nature and experiencing nature. So
that's great.
I think the site does a great job of really just being direct right off the top. I mean, it says right here, find nature and find activities, like automatically you could know where you're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Gab, what do you got?
And, well, the site I picked for this week is wix.com, W-I-X. And it's a really neat little site that helps you build your own website. And you don't need to have any knowledge of how to program a website. It's really a sort of choose the look that you want and type in your information. And it has a lot of little options. And I think what's neat about this website is that if you have a small camp or you want to promote, highlight a program, you can go to this website or have one of your staff go to this website and they can develop it. And a lot of the times, some camp directors feel stuck with their websites because they can't change the information that's on it. And here you have the power every day to add new pictures or add different text, you know, change the buttons around. It's very, very simple, but I think it also looks good, which is very important. So yeah, it's cheap and it's quite easy to use.
It's a long way from GeoCities.
So Gab, do you think it has potential to replace some of the paid services that some camps use? Like,
Sorry, camps use paid services? Oh my god.
For posting pictures and things, more than I thought, actually. What are the email people? The one that'll do your emails for you?
Bunk One.
Yep.
Ecamp.
Yep. Right.
I think it definitely could replace those services, as well as you can post videos, podcasts, blog, so on and so forth, and the pictures are, you can present them in lots of different interesting formats. So, with neat picture frames around them, and I think it's something that campers could go visit before they come to camp, and they get excited about the programs that you'd be doing for that summer. Or parents could go visit to see what's happening at camp. So I don't know. I think it's a there's a lot of opportunities for it, and I know that we're starting to use this program just for our seniors and put together what we do just for seniors. So it doesn't have the look of our website, but it has a completely a look that we think would appeal to 15 and 14 year old girls and so on and so forth. So kind of excited to start using it.
Sounds great, Gab. I was thinking, we'd sort of decided in our format that we'd go into a longer discussion at this point, but maybe it's better for people who are listening to this if I give you guys some time to introduce yourselves and talk about your experiences and where you work and what you do and that sort of stuff. That might be a really good use of our time on this first recording.
Sure.
So, Dan, do you want to start us off?
Sure. My name's Dan Weir. I'm the director of Camp La Rionda at Frost Valley YMCA. So Frost Valley is up in the Catskills. It's about 2.5 hours from New York City. And how Frost Valley works is we actually have a number of summer camp programs going on, but the longest program is Camp La Rionda. And so that is the younger half of the sleepaway camps. That's the second and seventh graders. So I've been in my role. This is going to be upcoming my fourth summer as the director of La Rionda, and it'll be my 14th summer working here at Frost Valley YMCA. So I'm definitely happy to kind of be part of that program. And then I've also volunteered for Global Camps Africa at Camp Sizanani, and that's really about it. I pretty much kind of just stay up in the YMCA camping industry for the most part.
Very cool. Well, Global Camps Africa sort of leads us naturally to GAP.
Yeah, well, I also volunteered for Global Camps Africa a couple of years ago, and I work for Camp Waro, which is an all-girls camp situated in the Laurentians in Quebec. And half of our campers are French and the other half are English. And so there's a nice culture aspect that goes along at Camp Waro. And I also worked with the International Camping Conference that happened in Quebec City in 2008. So a little bit everywhere, but very involved in the camping world and loving it.
And I think one of the coolest two cultures thing about Waro is that the languages switch.
Yeah, that's right. We work 2 days in English, 2 days in French, and we put two English campers and two French campers in the same cabin group. And we encourage that the kids speak the language of the day, but we don't force them. The staff speak the language of the day, and what we hope happens, and happens very often, is that the girls, they make friends, and that's really their motivation to speak the other language. So it's very, very neat to see those types of friendships building.
Mm-hmm. Joe, how about you?
Well, I'm not sure. Currently, I'm the director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a United Church of Canada camp located in southwestern Ontario. There is not a mountain anywhere near here. So the Catskills, the Laurentians, you know, you can have your mountains. I've been here for 5 years now. And before that, I spent 5 years in Algonquin Park working at the Taylor Statton camps. And I do a lot of sort of thinking and speaking on camp and what the future of camp is and where it's going. And tech is sort of just a hobby that I have, you know, building. My whole thing is that the more you know how to do it, the less money you have to spend to do it. You know, from graphic design to website design, if you're paying someone else to do it, you know, you're wasting money, in my mind, but that's just me. I've been here, and we are one of 60 United Church camps across Canada, so... I sit on a national task group for camping for the United Church, and I have spoken at numerous conferences, including with GAB at the International Camping Congress, and out in BC and the Ontario Camping Conference as well. So,
cool, Joe. Thanks. And as I said, I'm Travis Allison, and I work at Arcades Media and the company that's hosting this podcast as the social media director. But a lot of my work experience comes from camp as well. My last camp position, I was executive director of 5 summer camps, a job I shared with my wife. It was 2 jobs, not one, half each, but, and we directed 5 summer camps for the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And before that, we were at sort of one of the 2 largest Presbyterian camps in Canada for 12 years before that, called Glenmore Camp. And I grew up in church camping, and I also worked at sports camps in high school, and taught theater and basketball and kayaking along the way in sports and arts camps. So I think it's a nicely rounded group of people with private and agency in religious camps. So So I'm excited for what we're going to do with this. I think it's got some great potential. And we're going to be recording it every 2 weeks, putting it out every 2 weeks, about a half-hour show. And really, once again, want to call for, you know, ideas for folks if they want to send us different story ideas, things they want us to talk about, questions that they want us to answer. That sounds like we have 50 or 60 years of camp experience between us. We should be able to answer questions for folks quite well, I would think.
I hope so.
I think we have some time to look at some of the discussion topics that we had written down, maybe only one. I was going to highlight the Campus Safe article that Joe had posted, which came out of a really cool study that the ACA did, the American Camping Association, American Camps Association. Do you still do that, Dan?
Yeah, we definitely do, yeah.
Do you still call it camping instead of Camps Association?
Yeah, it's the Camping Association, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the ACA sponsored this study about rates of injuries at camp, and we will post a link to this study. It's actually up on, maybe it's on the ArcKids Twitter feed instead of on the blog, but we talked about it already. Joe, can you just give us a highlight here?
Essentially, it's a release that came out of Science Daily, and it is a... essentially, it just says that summer camp is safe. Summer camp is safe for the kids who come, which then you could potentially correlate to say that summer camp is safe for the staff as well. But they're saying that serious injury is really uncommon at residential summer camps. And I'm fairly sure that this... there's a tons of questions I have about the study, but... I'm not trying to refute the study. I'm just, you know, lots of camps. It doesn't say how many camps that they asked had doctors on site and how many of those doctors reported. Does that make sense to people?
Right.
Like, yeah. you don't know how many doctors didn't just treated it and didn't report it any further. So, but yeah. It's interesting to note that it's funded by an insurance company. Right at the bottom of this article, you know, the Healthy Camp study is funded by Markel Insurance, which is great because then the insurance company is trying to prove that camps are safe, which theoretically should lead to our insurance rates going down.
Theoretically.
I think it's also such a good thing to note, too, because, you know, so many parents I talk to are concerned about having young people take care of their children. You know, for a majority of the staff at our camp, like, I'd say a good part of them are, you know, under the age of 22. And so that could be scary to a parent, so they know that camp is a safe place, and that to promote that awareness is really kind of key to our success.
Yeah. And I think just even sort of on a day-to-day basis, this doesn't surprise me any. Like, I think camps are so conscious of how kids are treated and all the safety and stuff that prevention stuff that we do as camp directors, I guess it just pays off in the study. It shows how this is in the study. And I'm glad that parents get to see it and hear it from somebody other than, you know, the person in charge of the camp. Mm-hmm.
And I think the important thing to note, too, is that, the majority of standards that we follow, both the ACA and the OCA and camping standards, are, you know, generally are focused on safety. And so this just goes to prove that those standards are a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in terms of standard, it's a bit different for Dan than it is for us, because there's a national set of standards in the States, and in Canada, it's a standards per province. Like, each province has their own standards. And it might be an interesting longer discussion to get into with Gab, whose camp belongs to the Ontario Camping Association and the Quebec Camping Association.
That's right. We have the luxury of following two standards.
Nice. Actually, a lot of schools, a lot of camps in the States, they have to follow the Department of Health as well, too. A lot of the Department of Health have pretty stringent laws, and even you know, just camp departments that that go around. So our county definitely does, and they come a few times during the year. Just pretty much are visiting a few camps a day.
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard. That's the same.
Well, and the other thing that this study doesn't get into, but is the whole fact and talking about standards, and is that staff, there's a perception that there was an advertisement a few years ago, I'm not sure if you remember it, Travis, but about the Workplace Compensation Board in Ontario, WSIB, Workplace Safety and Insurance Board, had every spring they put out these ads that to highlight that young workers are more likely to get injured or killed on the job. And one of the ads highlighted a summer camp. And it was a bit... it was a bit over the top, but that being said, the Ontario Ministry of Labour has visited more summer camps in the past 3 summers than in the past 10 summers combined.
Oh, wow.
So they're really trying to step it up to, and I think especially since, you know, workers have passed away at camp, that's not being refuted, you know, it's just safety is, there's a ton of stuff, as you said, Dan, that the health department and that the Ministry of Labor and labor ministries everywhere, all of those laws still apply to summer camps. But for some reason, camp directors like to plead blissful ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm a ACA site visitor, and I've had some interesting discussions with anonymous camps of what they're following and what they're choosing not to follow or taking a fail on.
Right. Yes. Yes, yes. And I think maybe that's, I mean, this isn't really directed at camp directors, but it's something that parents should consider and take into account. Even the life jacket rule is not always enforced at all camps.
That's right.
That's a standard from the OCA, and that anytime kids...
No, it's not a standard from the OCA. The way the standard reads is that during times of inclement weather, do your staff enforce it?
Oh.
That's right.
It's a really bad... It's a badly written... I answered no to it because I don't allow my staff to choose.
Right.
My answer was no because my campers always wear life jackets.
Right.
So no, I don't in inclement weather, and you know, it's just a bizarrely written standard.
Do you challenge the OCA a lot, Joe, like that? Do you keep them on their toes?
I only get visited once every 3 years, so you can only do it so much. But apparently, I'm being visited next year again, because I answered no to a couple of standards, which once again were, I don't think were. In the best interest of camping. So there's arguments to be had all around. I've spoken with our ropes course people. You know, the thought that the same inspection standards are held for high ropes activities as they are for spotted activities seems a little bit silly in the ACCT's mind as well. Like it's ridiculous both, you know, and it's I think that somebody needs to challenge or else we don't move forward.
I think right now also I was talking to the person who oversees our venture program that they're definitely trying to combine the standards for ACCT and a few other ropes company together to finally have something standardized, but they're running into a lot of, you know, we want this, we want that type of thing as well too.
Yeah, the ACCT just had their standards open for comment through the National Safety Association out of the states, and you could comment on what you thought of the standards. They're moving, trying to move towards that.
Good. Well, thanks for posting that article, Joe. It's a beaut. Lots of good stuff to think about in there, and as I said, good stuff for camp directors to have to offer to parents. Oddly enough, we're coming to the end pretty soon. I think we're going to find half an hour is easy for us to fill. So I wanted to wrap up with some picks of the week. And I'll start us off. We'd each sort of talk about doing this, so people have some thoughts on this. For the listeners, this is going to be something quick that is a good, useful tool for camp directors that you can start using easily. And it's not going to be necessarily just tech or computer stuff. It's going to be tools that you can use around your site, something really simple. And just quick and good for everybody to know. So my first pick is Google's SketchUp. And I think it's at SketchUp.com, but if you go to Google and type in SketchUp, S-K-E-T-C-H-U-P, you can download a free program for Windows, Mac, and Linux that allows you to do 3D drawings, sort of like AutoCAD, and you basically can start within minutes. Years ago when I was at Cairn, I had spent an afternoon with it once before and drew some fun stuff, and then I decided that I wanted to show off the accommodations for our campers. And Cairn, in the main site in Baysville, Ontario, there's two styles of accommodation. There's a cabin for the Glenmore kids and a Prospector tent platform for the Iona kids. And so I just wanted to have something that parents could see what it looked like. And if they have their own version of SketchUp, they could basically do a 3D tour of it. So I spent a couple hours playing around with it, and at the end of it, I had these 3D drawings that you could look at in 360 degrees of our buildings. And so you can print a sort of a 2D version of the photo and use that for stuff. But I thought SketchUp was great and easy. Has anyone else used it before?
No. Cool. I'm going to, though, now.
I've used it a little bit, but not didn't get beyond playing with it, as you said. I haven't put it to a good use.
Yeah, same thing for me, same as Joe, with that, just playing around with it.
Well, it's one of those things that if you take the time and do all the tutorials, that what you learn in that is just amazing. But it takes an hour and a half to do the tutorials. And you probably spend longer on it. But anyway, that's my pick of the week.
Nice.
Joe, what's your pick of the week?
This week, I'm going to go with a tech pick, and I'm gonna pick Hootsuite, which is a Twitter client. I would assume much like TweetDeck. I downloaded TweetDeck many, many moons ago and never really got into using it because my internet connection made it take a long time to download. Hootsuite is an online Twitter client that allows you to manage multiple Twitter feeds at the same time, plus LinkedIn feeds, plus you can do your Facebook fan page all from the same place. You can schedule your tweets, and that was huge for me. We started a friend of mine and me started a tweet feed one night, a Twitter feed called Crokinole Coach, to teach people how to play better Crokinole. And if you don't know what Crokinole is out there, just go to crokinole.com. And we thought this would be hilarious to give. Crokinole is spelled C-R-O-K. That's great. Croak, I-N-O-L-E. So C-R-O-K-I-N-O-L-E.com. I'm not affiliated with that site at all. But essentially, we thought it would be great to get daily tips on how to play better Crokinole. And so, yeah, you laugh all you want. Crokinole is a Canadian game, Canadian made. The world championships are in Tavistock each year. So anyway, I kept logging out of Twitter and logging in to get to another account. And so finally my buddy says, hey, why don't are you using Hootsuite? And in the end, I started using it, and the scheduling of feeds was huge because I can do a whole 2 weeks of Crokinole Coach in one night.
Right.
And then just let them go out, like, you know, like WordPress or like Joomla, anything like that, where you can just schedule it to go live. And it's also great because you can see your stats. So if I shorten something with Hootsuite's URL shortener, I can go back and view how many times that was clicked through, which for camps might be huge, right? If you want to direct people to your web page, you know, to be able to see stats in real time as well. And it's just, they just released an iPhone app last week. I think it was $1.99. I picked it up right away, and just it's a really great sort of a great sort of tool to use.
Nice.
Cool, thanks. Gabrielle?
All right, so my pick of this episode is Mosquito-less, and I was inspired to choose this because Travis came to visit our camp this summer, and when he came onto our campsite, it smelt like I think garlic bread, and basically it's an environmentally safe way to get rid of or repel mosquitoes and black flies and ticks from certain areas in your camp. And I'm, you know, as camp directors, we try everything, and this, I'm shocked to say, actually really did work. We used it in our abertism course, which is thick with woods and with little water ponds everywhere from springtime, and we can't use that area within the first week of camp. We don't open up our abertism course. There's so many black flies and mosquitoes. And we found this, our maintenance team found this this spring and said, hey, let's try it. And short of your camp smelling like a delicious Italian restaurant, it actually it actually works quite well. So it's environmentally safe. It's an oil that you spray, and you can just Google it. It's mosquito-less, and just type in buy beside it, and they have all the little stores that you can pick them up in, and it's actually quite not that expensive, so it's really neat.
Mm-hmm. I was stunned at how well the work.
Is it an oil that you spray on your body or on the ground?
No, it's an oil that you spray on the ground. So use a regular pump, and you spritz it everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Sweet.
Yeah. I guess you could use it on your body if you want to, though, too. Try it out.
Bake snacking in the sun and really smell like garlic bread. Add some Parmesan cheese. I'm all good to go.
Yeah. That's great, Gab. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dan, what's your pick?
My pick was Google Calendar. And this is definitely for two aspects. One is, I just know this is definitely the time of the season where a lot of camp directors are doing a lot of hiring. And I know the problem I run into with staff and, you know, with their school schedule and everything is that they forget about the appointment. They set it for a week from then, and then they make a study appointment, or they, you know, they have something else come up. And I just like Google Calendar because you're able to kind of put an appointment in there, put the time in there, and also have it emailed immediately through Google to them, and then notify them as well as it's coming up. And then the flip side you could do as well is using it for your camp. And I know a lot of camps that will, you know, try to open during the fall or during the spring, kind of in between, just have some groups through or have some alumni or volunteer weekends, that sort of thing. And you could create, you could create a calendar for your camp, put those events in, and then people can have it ingrained in their own calendar so they could see when an event is coming up, and you can put the contact information in the description. It's just another way to reach people and to really kind of stay in their minds while using a tool they use as well.
I second the Google Calendar emotion.
That's great. I hadn't thought about your whole interview aspect of it, Dan, but
no,
it's great,
right?
Because I can just put their email address in and include them as an invitee.
Yeah. And
that's brilliant.
And then if they call it a change, like, and I move the appointment, I could send another email saying the appointment moved, and it works out really well of like, look, you know, we had this appointment here, let's try this, let's try that. And in case it turns out to be someone you didn't want to interview, you also have that backlog as well. So those few and far between.
We have this saying at camp, and I'll say it now, that is camp on top. It's my goal to get that saying into every podcast we do.
Yeah. Joe's new favorite saying.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for being a part of this. As I said, I'm really excited about the direction, and I think we've got lots of neat stuff we can talk about every 2 weeks. Before I say goodbye to people listening, I'll give each of you to sort of plug something, a website or something that you're doing, your camp's doing, etc. So, Joe, why don't you start us off?
I would like to plug thinkcamp.ca. ThinkCamp is an unconference that we're supposed to host yearly, but has gone a few years, that is going to be held next February. So for people who are listening, they can go to thinkcamp.ca. I'm going to update the website shortly. So
nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to second that plug. I was part of the first ThinkCamp, and it's something quite amazing, and there's a lot of information that comes from it. So definitely check that out.
Great.
Yeah, it's. I wasn't able to attend the first one, but was on the committee for the first one, and it certainly hope to help out with this one as well. So, Dan, maybe you can get a bunch of people in a van.
Yeah, just go right on up. We'll hit Niagara Falls on the way. So,
see, that's perfect.
Dude, we're only 2 hours from Niagara Falls.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go. Gab, what do you have?
Well, I don't actually. I was hoping to just ride on Joe's coattails on that one.
Okay. I don't. Well, why don't you give us the world?
Did I do that smoothly?
I thought you did it smoothly. Apparently, Travis missed it.
I can plug Camp Waro, though. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. So waro.com is the camp that I work at, and check us out. We're actually building a new website, so in a couple of months we'll have that one up. So, but you can see what the programs that we do and all that jazz.
Gab, you better spell it for your Anglo friends.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Waro is spelt O-U-A-R-E-A-U. Waro in French.
Great.
Oh, so it's not spelt W-A-R-O?
That's right. It's not. It's pronounced Uwaro.
Dan?
I'll just plug my Twitter feed. It's twitter.com/danlovescamp. And I just post articles and stuff that's coming up in that area. And then also I'm going to be speaking at the Northeast Y Camp Conference and the Tri-State Camp Conference on the title of the presentation is What the Internet is Not Evil. It's just on the positive aspects of kids being on the Internet and why children are kind of drawn to it and how we should embrace it instead of, you know, not saying they shouldn't be online and that sort of thing.
Nice. I like that.
Very cool. Very cool. Joe, do you want to give us your Twitter?
Yeah, my Twitter is YoYoJoeR. So that's YoYoJoeR. I just want to thank you, Travis, for for putting me on your camp peeps today. There are tons of people that started to follow it already. So that is that's great. Hopefully they enjoy the wacky stuff that comes out of my Twitter feed. Well, and that being said, if you would like to friend Crokinole Coach at Twitter, that is another one that daily bits of Crokinole. It's amazing what is out there.
That's excellent. And I'm Travis Allison from Our Kids Media. My personal Twitter is twitter.com/Zoic, Z-O-I-C. And the one that I am on all day is twitter.com/ourkids.net. And it has lots of camp stuff. We're really trying to focus that on information that's good for parents. So there's school stuff and camp stuff as well in the work feed. So thanks everyone for listening. It's been great. And look forward to doing it again, probably in the new year. But I hope we'll get this posted before Christmas. And then we'll chat after Christmas about when we schedule our next call.
Right on.
Great.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Nice.
Thanks.